Welcome to the Life After Kids podcast with Drs. Brooke and Lynn. We're getting real, raw, and vulnerable on all things midlife. We're sharing our friendship of over 20 years, and we're having honest conversations about our struggles and what it really takes to live a meaningful life after kids.
So brew your coffee or steep your tea and pull up a chair. Let's have a chat. Together, we'll rewrite the next chapter and show midlife who's boss. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Life After Kids with Drs. Brooke and Lynn. I'm Dr. Brooke.
And I'm Dr. Lynn.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so glad you're here.
Yeah, welcome, everyone. We're talking all things midlife, and this week we're talking about the pillar of a really important part of physical health, right? Yes. So in order to be vibrant, healthy, we come back to this a lot, but in order for you to live the life that you want and create the life that you want, you've got to have the energy to do so. And many of us are working on our physical health. Yep. And one of the best tools for doing that, and one of the most powerful tools for doing that, which we're going to help break down for you so it's not complicated, is intermittent fasting.
Yes. And this is a hot topic and for some reason, a little controversial, which I don't know that I get so much because there's just so much research behind intermittent fasting and how important it is. I guess that the controversy there would be like, oh, you're starving yourself or you're creating eating disorder and things like that.
There's so that. Yeah. And then there's those people that are in the muscle building camp where you have to eat six meals a day and you have to eat so much protein and, you know, fasting is not good. They would disagree with fasting.
Okay. So tell me about that, because that's one argument that I have not heard. Is that more like serious bodybuilders and weightlifters? Yes. Or is that okay?
Yeah.
So that, I mean, there may be some of our women here in this audience and our community that are doing that, but for the most part, and by the way, muscle building is super important in this phase of life. We've talked about this before, because the older we get, the more muscle mass we lose.
Yeah.
And we need it for metabolism and just to keep strong and to, you know, be able to keep our joints healthy, our bone density, all of those things. But you can still build your muscle very safely and effectively and intermittent fast.
Yeah. So if you're in a goal phase to increase your muscle mass significantly, I guess, then you are going to, there's a couple of different pathways and we'll not get into that too much, but there's a pathway called mTOR, and eating all the time, eating a lot of protein, balancing it with some fat and carbohydrates, you're going to build a lot of muscle, right? And very, like you said, some of us might be in that place, but few of us are really in that space. Mm-hmm. And if you are, we're usually just there for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fasting is what we're focusing on today because of the other benefit for health and longevity that you can get from fasting, which has been heavily researched, which is demonstrated by science, is that when you give yourself significant breaks in between meals, your body is going to be able to get into a very serious state of healing and repair. And we need that for longevity because as we age, our cells break down, we get worn out cells, damaged cells, and we need to allow our body the time to go in and really focus in on cleaning up those dead and dying cells and then build new cells.
Yeah. It's called autophagy. Did you say that already?
I didn't. Yes.
It's a fancy name, but that's essentially what the body is doing because you're not feeding it nutrients. Now it's, you know, turning around and looking for things to clean up. So that's a great thing. Also, don't discount for somebody who's had digestive issues in the past, how important it is to just give our digestive tract a break from time to time and let it rest and let it do some healing. So when you intermittent fast, even if you just do a 12 or 13 hour fast, you're doing really great things for your gut and your microbiome.
Yes.
And after so many hours, you even start to reset your microbiome.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
And then autophagy starts. When does autophagy start?
17 hours.
It's 17 hours. And the other thing that I learned more recently is 17 hours and after, this is like so cool to me. And you probably already know this, but I did not. After 17 hours, your body starts to make stem cells. And stem cells are, I mean, there are people now spending fortunes to get stem cell injections. But if you do a fast of 17. Did I say 72? It's 17.
Yeah. So it's 72 hours is the most stem cells. So we're going to work up to that.
Right. Let me back up. If I said 72, that's not what I meant. I meant 17 hours and beyond.
If you get
to 17 hours and beyond, your body starts to regenerate and make stem cells.
Right. And stem cells are just cells in your body that can be turned into any type of cells.
Yeah.
So they're the cells that came when you were born or when your babies were born. And, you know, they talk about harvesting the cells from the umbilical cord and how precious those are. If you do get into a situation where you are facing or your child is facing a serious disease, these stem cells are so powerful because they're like little army of brand new cells that can be just discharged to whatever area is injured or failing, and we can rebuild new tissue essentially.
Yes, great. With these. So for example, Andrew, my middle son, tore his ACL and meniscus, and we went to a doctor for a consult to look into stem cell injections into the knee for him to rebuild some of that tissue.
Yeah.
Right. So those are the things, but this is the really cool part. And we've talked about this so often, right? And we live by this, that the body has an innate wisdom and it knows what to do when you treat it right. So this is the other thing that blows my mind with the body, is that when you get to a fast of 17 hours or more, we already mentioned that stem cells are being produced. Mm-hmm. But not only that, your body knows to send the stem cells it's producing to the areas in your body that need healing and growth.
So
for example, if I'm having an issue with my knee, I'll use that example again, and I'm doing a 17-hour fast or more, as my body's making the stem cells, it's going to send them to my knee.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, so it's this is the thing. This is a tool that it doesn't cost any money.
Yeah.
And for longevity, you know, the thing you just have to watch, and you talked about mTOR and muscle building, what we don't want to do is be fasting at this age, day in and day out, super long fast, because you will start to break down muscle, which we don't want.
Yes.
So there's a fine line there.
So let's circle back. So, because we could geek out on the fun science stuff all day long. But what is this going to do for you? And you've heard about it undoubtedly, because like you said, Dr. Brooke, it's just huge as of late, right? What this can do for you, it can reset your gut. So if you do have digestion issues, if you've had any sort of, you know, liver congestion or gallbladder digestion, it can really help with that.
Yeah.
It can help you lose weight. And again, we don't want to go to a place where it's
unhealthy,
focused only on that.
Yep.
But guys, many of us have high BMIs, and we just have to look at the facts with that we do need to employ strategies to help that, because that's going to keep us healthier in long term.
Agreed.
And then it could also help you balance your blood sugar. So we all are worried if we have you know, we all should be worried about that with, you know, diabetes, and if it's in your family, or if it's something where you crave a lot of sugar and you just can't get your cravings under control, it can help you to balance your blood sugar. And then again, the autophagy, which you mentioned, which is just that massive eating up of the dead and damaged cells so that you can renew and regenerate.
Yes.
All right.
One other thing I would add to that list, when you are, fasting. So like in the morning when I'm fasting and I start my work, your body's also producing ketones, and ketones is basically, think of ketones like fuel for your brain.
Yeah.
So I can almost feel, and many people can, once they start to do this, like that kicks in and I'm like just so laser focused on whatever it is that I'm doing. It's incredible. So there's a big plus too. Not that you want to be in ketosis all the time, but and we're going to talk about
that. And that's where the keto diet, again, hugely popular, right? Yep. That's where that has come from. And if you are in ketosis, you've got great energy, you're not hungry, your brain just feels sharp and alive, and your brain is healing, because it's ketones are its favorite fuel.
Right.
So that brings us to a good
point,
because now two times we've mentioned that diet variation is the key, right? So if you only did fasting, if you only did keto, if you only did mTOR or higher carb or higher protein, your body doesn't like that. And that's why you can do something and lose weight or feel better for a short period of time. And then all of a sudden, 3 months in, your body's kind of like leveling out.
You start to plateau.
And so
you don't feel good.
No, you don't.
Beyond just a plateau.
Yeah. And so the overarching theme, and again, we want to help break this down for you so it's not overwhelming, because this is a science and it can be a full-time job when you're somebody who studies this. But for you, how is this going to look like in your life? So we're going to start with the basics of how to begin a fast. And then you can start to get a bit of a fasting lifestyle in, you know, for you, coming together, because everybody's a little different.
Right.
And then at the end, we'll just talk about, just touch on briefly, you know, the cycles of how you need to your diet.
Yeah. Yeah. Because here's the thing. And you mentioned this already, that the variation is necessary, but specifically for women. And this is where I want the conversation to go, is what does fasting look like for women? Because we can't subscribe to fasting the way men do. Our bodies are not the same. A, because our hormones are affected. And I will tell you all from personal experience, I was the girl several years ago that got into intermittent fasting and did it day in and day out, super low carb all the time. And I felt great, like Dr. Lynn said, for about a month, but I set myself up for a lot of issues, not to least of which was anxiety and hormone imbalance. And so for women, you can start to mess with your thyroid, you can start to mess with your cycle. So this is why we have to be wise about how we approach intermittent fasting. It's a great tool when it's used effectively, but if you're not using it the right way or you jump in too quick, it can cause issues.
Yep. And for women, if you aren't fasting with your cycle, you could potentially, as you mentioned, after a period of time, start to gain weight. And that happened to me. And that's very frustrating. Yeah. If you're thinking you're trying to, you know, you're not denying yourself, because hopefully you're in a place of ketosis, but you're working on yourself and you want to see a result. And then you see the opposite. It's very frustrating. And how many of us have been there? Right. Okay. So let's just talk a little bit about your cycle. We're going to take you back to 11th grade biology class, but with men, their hormones just stay. They're so simple, right?
So many moms in the Life After Kids community are seeking more purpose now that their kids are grown. But over and over again, we hear this one thing: I don't know where to start. That's why we created the Life After Kids Goals Framework and User's Guide. It's the one tool you need to design your new chapter, and it will show you where to start. The best part is it's free. Use the link go.lifeafterkids.com/goals-framework to get yours now. That's go.lifeafterkids.com/goals-framework. Let's get started redesigning our life today.
There's so
more ways than one.
Anyway, but they just have one major hormone. I mean, they have estrogen too, but testosterone is their major.
They don't
hormone,
fluctuate like
and
we
it
do.
Doesn't fluctuate. It just stays hopefully high for them all year. I mean, and it's just going to elevate. It's a little bit higher in the morning. So blah, 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 blah. But for us, it's the month is going to be completely different, because we're going to start the month off gaining, increasing in estrogen levels and lowered in progesterone. Estrogen and progesterone are our two major hormones for women.
Yes.
And then we're going to end the month the opposite. It's going to flip.
Yeah. And I think without getting too, because we could do a whole separate podcast on our cycles and how that looks and how to help it. But I think the basics of what you need to know, and if you want more information on this, check out Dr. Mindy Pell's book,
yes. Fast Like a Girl.
Fast Like a Girl. But let's just break it down real simply. After we talk about this, let's talk about other options, because you don't necessarily have to follow this. But if you're focused on wanting to stay in your period or make it as regular as possible, or push menopause out, because some of us are hitting it early and that might be your body type, but also that, you know, the longer we have our cycle, the better for our heart health, the better for bone density and all these things. So if you want to help balance your hormones, the best thing for you to do is day 1 to 10 is keto. So you're going to eat through, and day 1 means the first day of your cycle, right? So through those first 10 days, you're going to eat low carb. and you're going to do longer fasting, right? Yeah. So that could look anywhere if you're just getting started, like a 12-hour fast all the way up to a 72-hour fast. Not to mean you're going to do that, like, I mean, you might do just one 72-hour fast, right?
Yeah.
Or you might change it up. Like for me, I might do one day where I do 14, another day where I do a 17 or 18 during that time.
Yeah.
So go on.
Yeah. So, and that the reason for that is because estrogen is high in that part of the cycle, and estrogen likes low sugar. That is your power phase, as Dr. Mindy says, because fasting is going to work with your body in those first 10 days,
right?
Not against, because estrogen wants you to have lower blood sugar, meaning a keto diet is going to be much friendlier for your body during that time. And yeah, if you're just starting out and you think you can do a 72-hour fast and you've never fasted before, I have news for you. It's probably not going to go that way.
No.
But you're going to start with, okay, 13 hours is, you know, so do you stop eating at 7:30 and, you know, or stop eating at 6:30 the night before, and you're going to wait to eat until 8:30 the next day.
Right.
I mean, many of us can do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. And then I was going to say, then you work up.
Right. And to add on to that, if you are just getting started, you might not even be able to sustain 13 hours. It might be 12, it might be 11, it could even be 10, wherever it is, start somewhere and go, you know, you might do 3 to 5 to even 7 days at, let's just say, call it 12-hour fast. And once you're comfortable there for several days, then you add an hour, do a 13-hour fast, do that for a couple of days. That's a really nice, gentle way to start into it. And there's also, like, for me, and I think for you too, I prefer to do my fasting, like I eat my dinner and then a lot of times I'll just miss breakfast or push breakfast back. But there are some women that it works very well for them to maybe miss their last meal and have breakfast. Yeah. That would never go for me, but that's always an option too, that you could make your, you could, if you wanted to eat your breakfast, you could just start to make your dinner earlier.
Yeah. I think that wouldn't work for me just from like, emotional point of view, like that last meal, like the end of the day.
That's like, I look forward to that.
Right. But if you, I have heard some people, and I can see it, that is probably, especially if you can vary it and not just miss your breakfast all the time. If some days you miss your dinner and the more variation, the more you're going to keep your body on its toes and the more efficient it's going to become as a fuel burner.
Yes, I agree.
And so if you are trying to lose weight, that is something to keep in mind.
Right. And by the way, if you have a tremendous amount of blood sugar imbalance, starting into this, just so you know, is going to be a little more difficult.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Just give yourself some grace and know that it's probably even more important for you to
because
adopt some of this.
Back to your point around the body being so amazing, that your body can heal from some of that on its own. So you may just need to work with your healthcare provider and just dip your toe in as you go along. Okay.
So what about the next phase of our cycle?
Yes.
How we handle that?
This is, if you remember from, you know, biology class, so your estrogen is raising, and then about midway through your cycle, days 11 through 15, your body's getting ready to push an egg out from your ovaries down into the fallopian tubes and getting ready for it to be implanted.
Ovulation.
Yeah. At our age is not happening.
No, thank you.
However, the body doesn't know. So it's still kind of going through the motions, right? So this is a time when you would not want to fast. So this is where, I mean, if you get anything from this conversation, just start to track your cycle. I mean,
it's helped me a lot.
Yeah. Terrible with that. And now just because of this, I'm doing it more. So you would not want to fast during this phase. This is where you're going
If you do, it's going to be a very short fast.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. But you're also going to feast a little bit more. So you're going to be eating
more carbohydrate, things that are also really good for your hormones, you know, like things like bringing in flaxseed because they're high in phytoestrogen, eating the carbohydrates, like lots of yummy sweet potatoes and butternut squash and spaghetti squash and cassava. Even some fruit, you know, and just really nourish your body during this time. And by the way, this is also not the time. This has helped me too, to be really pushing yourself in a workout. This is really a time in your cycle that if you're going to give your body a rest, and we have to pay attention to that as women too, because so many of us are overtraining and pushing through when we shouldn't be. So this is a time too, that you're going to want to back off a little bit.
It's great. Yeah.
Okay.
It's great.
So next part.
So after,
did we say the days? That's day 11 through 15.
Okay. Yep. And so days 16 through 19, your body now is in, again, back in that power phase. So there's no egg, there's no pregnancy, you know, knock on wood. And you're going to be able to go back to fasting a little bit more powerfully and keeping that blood sugar low, like you did in the first phase, in the beginning of your cycle.
Yes. Which is great. And this is also the time. So, and you can do really the extended fast, just like you did day 1 to 10, but this is also a time like this, ladies, is your sweet spot that if you really want to push it and do a hard work, this is the time you can push your body a little harder physically.
Yes.
This is the time you can step up your game. If, I mean, how do we schedule these things? But this is the time, if you're going to run that race and you really want to perform, like this is the time in your cycle that your body is, this is like, yes, like a sweet spot for sure. And then we hit day 20 and beyond.
So this is our nurture phase. I mean, this is the chocolate phase. This is where
you get the phase where you might not want to be around me.
The moody phase.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know it. It's right. And for many of us, you think it's going to stop in menopause, and it really doesn't. It gets a little worse.
Yeah, I mean, it can.
I'm having some PMS that I haven't had since I was, you know, in my teens.
With the fluctuations.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But what has helped me to track that a little more is to just realize, like, if I'm off or moody or weepy, which I was last week, you can give yourself a little bit of grace. Well, and also even let your family members know, like, guys, and that the backfires on me, because I'll say that to Ken and be like, Ken, just give me some faith. And I feel like he is on me even more. He's like just testing the waters and see if he can mess with me. But anyway, yes, this is the time. And this would be day 20 till you start your cycle again. And at this point, you should really be taking it a lot easier on your body, eating a lot more carbohydrates, eating, you know, make sure you're feeling full, no fasting, and just giving it
some time. And so we should talk, if you're not able to track your cycle because you're postmenopausal or you're perimenopausal.
Yes, that's a good point.
And your cycle is irregular for, you know, because it does that, it gets shorter and then it gets longer. But basically it would be until you bleed. So you would go until you bleed again, if you're still having cycles. So that could be longer. It could be 10 days. It could be correct.
Yes.
Right. How do we do this? I'm going to throw you a curveball here. How do we do this?
You're listening all the time.
I know. And you are in menopause and you haven't had a cycle.
Yeah. So you can do it one of two ways. You could just start just going through this, the same thing, just so that you're cycling through, right? So make whatever it was tomorrow, day one, and you go through a 28 or 30 day cycle. Or there are women who are in menopause, like without a doubt, because for me, I'm in that phase, but I'm still getting a period. So when I get my period, that's like my day one, and I go through, and actually, ladies, that's starting to bring, like, I've not had a cycle since last Memorial Day. Now we're in June. And I've had two regular cycles,
which some people are off going, oh, I don't want that.
I know, but for me, I was happy because it's good for my skin. Yeah. It's good for
the longer you cycle,
it really
the better
is
it
so
is
healthy
for your
for
body.
You.
It really is. Yeah.
So at any rate, if you are in full blown menopause and you're not getting a period at all, you could go, some women will go by the cycle of the moon.
I was going to say that as a joke.
No, it's a real thing. And I'm not doing that right now. So I don't know, like, if the full moon's day one, I would assume, and then you go through the cycle, but you could do it that way as well. Okay. And I want to just mention one point, because there are many different ways. Like, this doesn't have to be the end all be all. And this may not work for you where you are, or like, it might just be that your body. So the take home message here is that you're going to want to go, regardless of whether you go around your cycle. As a woman at our age, we just need to cycle in and out of keto.
Yes.
And eating carbs.
Diet
and
variation.
Intermittent fasting and not. So for you, that might look like, for some of you, maybe in tuned enough with your body that you can just tell when, okay, I woke up, I had a great workout, I'm feeling really good. I can push my meal back.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like, you know, and then there's other days, we've all been there, where you're like, I just need those carbs. I need that potato. I need those plantain chips. I just have had a bad. So you could very well do it that way. And that might work for your body. The point is just make sure you're not doing the same exact thing day in and day out.
That's great. And then a word around, you know, if you are losing weight and, you know, worried about eating disorders, or if you've had an eating disorder, this is should never be about restricting calories. So one of the things that I was confused about when I first started fasting was that essentially you're skipping a meal. You're not skipping a meal. You're going to eat the same amount of calories that you would in any day. You're just going to eat it in a shorter window. So we need to repeat that. So your window of eating narrows, but not the amount of calories that you're eating, because your body still needs all that food.
It does. Fuel.
Now, if you're overeating, that's another conversation. However, fasting should bring that in, because again, you're going to get full and you're not going to, you know, hopefully you're going to get some of those signals of satiety where you're not going to push through that and overeat.
Well, there's two things there. When you fast, number one, we already mentioned that it starts to balance your blood sugar. So you won't need, like, when your blood sugar is a mess, that's when you're like snacking and eating all day long. So that's number one. And number two, fasting also affects leptin levels, and leptin is the hormone that triggers you to be hungry. So when that starts to come into better balance, you will see that you're not going to need to likely eat the way you used to.
Yeah.
And I want to just mention one more thing, because you mentioned like
restricted
calorie restriction and eating disorders. And so we're not experts in that field. No. And I just want to mention that if that's something that you've struggled with in the past or you struggle with now, but you're thinking that you want to use intermittent fasting for healing, I mean, that's not our space. And you definitely need to work. You need to talk to, whether it's your counselors or your, like, don't jump into that on your own.
Right. Yeah. So, that's great advice. Yeah. But for the general population, and if we look at our country's overweight, it's like approaching 50% obesity rates. It's over 40.
It's over 40. Yeah. And I think they're saying in like the next 10 years, it's going to be over 60%.
Insanity, guys, because this is dollars coming out of your pocket because of healthcare costs.
I agree.
You know, even if you're not overweight, I mean, this is your problem, because we have to do something about that in this country. And
this is not, once again, I go back, this is not us body shaming.
No,
this is
never.
There is a direct correlation between your weight and your health, especially at this age.
And your energy levels and your production.
Yeah.
And your
all of it.
Happiness. So yeah. I mean, again, don't do it because you want to look good in a swimsuit.
Yeah.
You're doing it because you want to feel like the amazing person that you are.
Yeah.
On the inside, you want to feel that.
Absolutely.
On the out, you know.
And that doesn't mean like to have in your mind, like, I've got to be a size 6 or a size 4 or size. No, that just means that we want to be at the size that's right for our body and our genetic makeup.
Yeah.
And what's best for us, right? Yes. I mean,
and it's with very few exceptions, that means a higher muscle ratio and a lower fat ratio.
Yeah.
Right. And what that is for you is different. It's going to vary according to your height and your bone structure and all that. But you know what's a good weight for you, most of us.
Yes.
And you know, we just want to, fasting can help you approach that if you're struggling in that area.
Yeah. One other thing before we start to wrap up, unless you have other things to say, but I just wanted to mention, like, if you need some tools to help you fast, like, especially if you're just getting started, some things that will help you extend eating without necessarily taking you out of a fast. Yes.
It sounds easier. I'm like, I'm going to do 72 hour fast this week. And then you start, and then by about supper time, you're like, and sometimes it's just the, like, what do I do now? I'm usually eating this time, you know, and it's a mental thing.
Yes.
But then you can get the craving. So I love
that. And it can be just a body chemistry thing too, that your body needs a little something. So as long as there are different schools of thought, because some people are really traditionalists with intermittent fasting, like, you cannot have anything but water, but if you're not raising your blood sugar, you're still going to get benefits of fasting. And so you might have a cup of coffee with some fat. to satiate you, and that would still keep you fasting. So you might add some MCT oil or some coconut oil to your coffee, or even a little bit of grass-fed butter if you tolerate dairy. I not all the time, but sometimes I'll fast and I'll have a cup of bone broth with some fat, with some MCT oil. And those things will still give you the benefits of fasting, but it'll make it a little bit easier on you.
Yes. And I will say this too, that if you are fasting in a window, like you said, if you need a snack, if you get to that place, but sometimes you can sabotage your fast by unknowingly tasting something that has flavor in it.
What was like that book you read? I'm sorry, I put you on the spot. Yeah. You're looking in your bookshelf. We can link it in the show notes, but you read a book that talked about that.
Yeah, it was great because, you know, I would chew gum, chew mints, and here's the deal. Anything that's going to spike your body to think it's got food coming in, and flavor is usually the catalyst for that.
Can be.
Then it makes it impossible because then your body doesn't get the food and it's got insulin in your bloodstream and then you're shaky, right? Then you get those hypoglycemic symptoms and then you got to eat like right now. So don't do that if you can avoid it. So don't eat gum. Don't eat breath mints. Don't even like flavored coffees, flavored tea. Mm-hmm. I like to sip on a really cup of green tea and black tea if I fast. And I know because I've done it enough that it doesn't affect my blood sugar.
Yep.
For some people, they can't even have coffee because it spikes their blood sugar.
So let's talk about that for one quick sec. Sorry, you finish it.
No, I was going to say, so just if you get shaky, hungry after a cup of coffee, then go without the cup of coffee.
Yes.
Because I promise you, the pain of giving up, the pain of you know, trying to push through a fast when you just feel achy and tired and hungry, it's worth giving up that cup of coffee.
Yes.
Yeah. To avoid that.
Yes. And I am that person. So most times, unless I'm like, it depends on the day, but more times than not, even if I just have a cup of green tea, I get shaky. Something it throws my system off. And there again is where everybody's different. It might spike my blood sugar a little bit. It might just be that I already run like at a high energy level. So the caffeine a lot of days that I can't do that. But there's one other thing that just came to mind that I'll do that really helps me stay like just feeling comfortable and satiated during a fast. And that's electrolytes.
Yeah.
And the electrolytes that I use are a little bit flavored and sweet. And anything else, I totally agree. Like if I chewed a piece of gum or a mint, I'd be doomed, even if it was sugar-free. But the electrolytes do not do that for me.
Yep. So for some people who fast, or when you're fasting, and just for many
your body
of us,
might need them.
I need electrolytes. You know, we lose electrolytes, which would be salt, potassium, magnesium. Those would be some major examples of your electrolytes. We lose those when we're sweating. We lose those when we're on keto because your body's just using them up
so quickly.
So that's why you often get the keto flu. If you've heard of that, just that kind of like
feeling crummy. So electrolytes can really help
for that, but that's good to know because there is a little bit of a sweet taste on those. And I mean, they're yummy. If you don't know about the element, electrolytes, those are
really good.
Like.
They're really strong. Like I have with my water bottle, like I put a half in this big bottle and this is like a 32 or 40,
68.
It's a big bottle. And I put a half a packet and I sip on that all morning when I'm fasting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also do like, I'm at the point now, like I can do my workout. I can jump in the sauna without eating. And then I'll have some electrolytes and, you know, some water and sometimes not even bone broth and I can still go.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, once you get your body adapted, that's not initially.
No. And if you're intermittent fasting and lifting weights, you do want to eat right afterward. If you're doing more of
to build your muscles back up,
Pilates
or take
or
some
something.
Amino acids.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, lots of stuff. Let's break it down. So intermittent fasting, shortening your time window of eating.
Yep.
Not restricting your calories.
Yes.
Monitor your cycle. So start your counting your days so that you are fasting in the beginning of your cycle from days 1 to 10. And also days 16 and 19 are safe days to do power fasts, longer fasts. The rest of the time, you're more nurturing, a little bit higher carbs, fewer harder workouts, so less hard workouts. You can do fasting in different time frames. You can make it up or you can follow some of these rules. So 24 hours is a great time frame for a gut reset. So if you just need to give your digestion a break, 24 hours is a great one.
Yeah.
If you want to lose weight, for some people, and things are more stubborn for you, for a lot of people, 36 hours. So you would stop eating the night, you know, on a night, you'd go the entire next day without eating, and then you'd wake up and have breakfast the next day. That's a 36 hour fast. Mm-hmm. That's what that looks like.
I've never done that.
48 hours is a little bit longer. You're going to be in autophagy past 17. So you're going to get some of that really great anti-aging or longevity fasting, if you want to call it that, if you give liberties there. And then 72 hours is really the peak of autophagy and the peak of stem cell production. So if you can make it to that, that's something you probably do once a quarter. Maybe not any more than that, for sure once a year if you can handle it, because it's going to give you that regenerated, you're going to make some new cells from those stem cells that are going to keep your body strong.
That's 72 hours. I screwed that up at the beginning too, didn't I?
No, you said that right. It's beyond 17, but the peak
is at 72. Okay.
So that's where, if you continue to fast after that, then the cortisol spikes. The stress on the body past 72 does not outweigh the benefits any longer.
Gotcha.
Because you're going to start to decrease. It's now your body's like starvation.
Yeah.
And the red lights are going off, and it's going to hold on.
So you've done a 72 hour fast. I've
done a 5-day fast. I've done a 7-day water fast.
What?
Yeah. Not fun, but I done it.
I gone done it. I've done a 4-day, but with bone broth.
I absolutely loved my favorite fast was my first 5-day bone broth fast. If you're going to do a longer fast, do bone broth, because I feel like you stay in ketosis. I think what I had trouble doing with my water fast, and I think a lot of people run into that, is balancing my electrolytes. So I just felt like shaky, and my muscles were like twitchy and different things. So yeah, if you're just, and a lot of people just say water fast, especially if you have a lot of weight to lose, again, work with your doctor, your healthcare practitioner. But I think your water quality like comes into really into play there. And then also electrolytes. And I wasn't doing those at the time.
Yeah.
But
I have other friends that if they do a longer fast, they can't do the bone broth, simply because for them, it's almost like, if I just have anything, then I want more. It's better for me to have nothing at all. And then I don't I'm not tempted to have a taste
like
and something.
Yeah.
It's just like triggers them to feel like they should be eating something. So I think everybody's a little different, but there's lots of benefits to this. I'm glad we've had this talk.
So many benefits to this, health-wise for sure. And if it's something where you've tried calorie counting and you've tried, you know, all of the ways to lose weight, but you haven't tried this, this could be something that, again, is going to help reset your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Balance your blood sugar.
For me, the balancing blood sugar.
Huge.
Because
that's why we get overweight.
Well, not only that, but part of my issue, and I've struggled with anxiety for years, and there's a lot to unpack there. Some is that, but this for me, and not this, I'm not saying this is for everyone, but the anxiety for me, a lot of it was my gut health. And a ton of it was my blood sugar going up and down, because your blood sugar spikes, cortisol. We've talked about this, but my point is
intermittent
fasting has changed my blood sugar landscape and has also changed the level of anxiety that I notice.
And
it's just remarkable.
And especially when you're working with your, because you got off fasting because you got turned off of it. But when you work
when you
with
do
your
it the right
cycle,
way. Yes.
Yes.
When
yes.
you go in and out of it and you allow yourself, it's just is really remarkable what it's done
so
for me.
So we're going to continue for sure to talk about this more. So can just keep watching.
It's just been a really long.
Keep watching our content for more helpful tips on fasting.
Yep.
So that you can feel equipped and empowered to do it yourself.
Yes. And ladies, thank you so much for joining us today. Once again, definitely reach out to us if you have any questions about what we've talked about or any feedback or anything specific you'd like to hear more of. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and the website is www.lifeafterkids.com.
Yes. Awesome. We love hearing from you. So let us know what your questions are and topics that you want to hear covered in future podcast episodes. Yep. And that's it for now. Go make midlife your boss.
No, I swear. Again, she does it every other time.
Go show midlife who's boss.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks again for listening to Life After Kids. When you have a moment, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you liked our conversation, hit follow and share it with a friend. For more on Life After Kids, go to www.lifeafterkids.com. We'll be back every Sunday, and we hope you will too. Until next time.